Welcome to Cruise Code Podcast number 10. I'm happy to say that one of our most popular segments is back this week. This week, we talk to Max Nadjar from Access Travel in South Australia. Max will be well known to members right across Australia, having started his business back in 1978. Max has served on advisory panels with South Australia Consumer Affairs as a past AFTA state chairman, and has sat on the executive councils for IATA and ATAC. Always with ideas and insights, Max speaks with Adam Vance on all matters around COVID-19, government, and where he sees travel and cruising over the coming months and year. To start this week's podcast, let's now listen in as Adam Vance and Max Nadjar, Director and Manager of Access Travel, have a chat and discuss all things travel, cruise, and recovery. Welcome, Max. Great to have you here.
Thanks very much, Dean. Today, it's my pleasure to be joined by Max Nadjar, who is the Director and Manager of Access Travel in Glenunga. Max has been operating since 1978. Welcome to the podcast, Max.
Thanks a lot, Adam. Thanks.
It's nice to have a chat with you. I miss our chats every few months that we get over to South Australia. So first and foremost, how are you and the team, and how is life in general in South Australia?
South Australia has been fairly controlled. We've got some really good stuff happening with the state government. They're controlling a lot of good things there. So from a social point of view, not too bad. Of course, the travel industry is decimated. The cruise industry is all over the place. I think Cruise Co are doing a really good job. As we said, New South Wales Health will be to blame, not the cruise companies. And if the cruise companies are to blame, this is back in March this year, it'll be 5 or 10%, because New South Wales Health have not got it together. I was on the cruise just before the cruise that went anal. And when I got off the cruise in Sydney Harbour, it was ridiculous. There was no hand sanitizers. This is when COVID was just starting in the middle of February. All the crews was just lined up on the deck, and you had all these wonderful people in their yellow vests. Nobody asked us any questions. We got into a really dirty taxi to go to Sydney Harbour, to Sydney Airport, sorry, and they tried to rip us off anyway. But it was just terrible. There were actually no protocols, and I thought, just scratching my head saying, you know, if this COVID continues, this is February, mid-February, it's going to be really bad. I don't reckon they got their act together. Yet you're paying, this is our taxpayers' money, for these Department of Health officials who did absolutely nothing. No questions, nothing. Picked our suitcases up. Everyone was bumping into each other. It was pretty cool. And we walked off. And on our cruise, there were definitely people in the hospital. And they said they had influenza and stuff like that. So I think I've sort of been through it a bit on the touching side. And it's disappointing. I would just like to see our industry get together a little bit closer with the state governments. And it's up to the state governments to sort of allow a ship to dock or disembark.
Thanks, Max. So what's been the hardest part of this crisis for you and the team? And dare I say, in the same breath, have you seen any positives come out of it?
I actually have seen some positives, which I'll discuss in a second, but refunds, amendments, cruise lines changing their minds, conditions not being very clear, inconsistency in conditions, reading travel insurance policies, trying to time it perfectly. And this is where I think Cruise Co agents and people, members of AFTA and ATAS and IATA, can get their act together as travel agents. This is the time right now to really hit hard and say to the consumers, let us monitor, guide you and manage things. Because we know when it's better to cancel an Emirates Airlines ticket. We know when it's better, not all the time, but as much as we can, when it's better to cancel Cunard Cruise or HAL or Viking. Because we are reading the conditions, we're talking to the sales reps, and we pretty well know the timings of all that. So I think that's an absolute plus, and we should be pushing that forward towards consumers, towards the current affair, if you believe them. And really make it known that, you know, it's our timing, the way we guide people, the way that we monitor and manage is setting us apart. Whereas if you go direct to a cruise company or direct to an unprofessional travel agent, then they can't give you that information. So, yeah, look, it's refunds, amendments, reading the insurance conditions, if they're covered or not covered. Our agency, Access Travel, has been extremely lucky in many, many ways. We had a huge sales volume for the last year and a half on the cover more, cancel for any reason policy, for example. And they only pay back 75% of what it's due, but you know, you can pretty well get most of it back from the airline. So we were able to invoke those policies against cancelled cruises or cancelled airline tickets or packages, whatever. And the maximum or the minimum, whatever you look at it, was 75% of the clients got back on their travel insurance. And that was really cool because we would go back and tactfully say, well, aha, we told you, we sent you the PDS, we sent you the policy, you cancel your $20,000 cruise, you're going to get 75% back.
That's really good to hear, Max.
Yeah, look, you know, the big plus, I reckon, is keep close to your clients and make sure you tell them. Don't just do things and think, oh, yeah, that's just part of our job. We just did it. We read the policy correctly. No, no, no. If it wasn't for my involvement, you would not get your money back on this. If it wasn't for my involvement, you wouldn't be able to do this. If it wasn't for my involvement with the timing of cancellation of the air ticket or that, you would not get this back. So do you understand that because I'm in the mix, because I'm actually your professional travel advisor, then you have actually been able to save money and have been able to speak to the BDM and I've got this leniency given to you. So these are the things that we should be doing right now.
Yeah, Max, I've heard a lot more positive stories about travel agents than what the media likes to lead us down to the negative aspect of that. And it is an opportune time to blow our own trumpet. And you are very much right there with it. When you do something that goes above and beyond, or just the normal, just like, you are that personal conduit between your customer and the wholesale or the customer and the cruise line. So thanks for sharing that with us. What do you think consumer confidence is like at the moment in your part of the world?
Well, it's pretty low. The long story short, the industry is really low at the moment. The confidence is low in the industry because people are confused. Even something as simple as domestic travel, shall I go to Queensland? Shall I go to Northern Territory or New South Wales, whatever? You know, it's changing all the time. Again, back to what I said originally, the state government, health authorities have to work closer with the travel industry and really get their act together, have a master plan and, you know, put the onus back on the traveller. If the traveller says, I want to go from here to North Queensland, they get to Hamilton Airport and there's a problem, they need to sign that disclaimer before they leave Adelaide or Melbourne or Sydney and saying we'll put ourselves up for 14 days or we'll get a test done every 2 or 3 days. Because you can do a test on a Monday and then on the Thursday it's changed. So, you know, this is where I think we need to put more onus on the traveller. And if they sign that disclaimer, mum and dad and the kids, then that's it. They have to pay for it. And these wankers, these idiot girls and guys who are travelling borders, how weak is this? I mean, just put them in jail and fine them and get the money from the fines and pay for this type of stuff. You know, we are so weak. We have to have a lot more colloquialisms used in the media. They have to say, for example, in Victoria is a perfect example. The premier there was too weak in his language. He should just say, you are idiots. You're losing the state's economy. You're losing people. We are locked down because of you. And he should mention the names of people who have been charged, not alleged, on TV. And say, you idiots have stopped the economy. You idiots are causing the breakdown. Use the word idiots because we are so weak in our terminology there. Forget about political correctness. Just go for it and tell them where they stand. I don't think that's happening. Industry's low point at the moment is certainly even on international. We can't travel from A to B to C, as we all know. Again, if you start working closely with IATA and CLIA and AFTA and so forth, and then say, okay, you travel, sign this disclaimer, you can go down to London, you can go to Los Angeles, whatever. Of course, the planes probably won't get you there. But, you know, I think we've got to put a lot more onus now upon the traveller and let them take those risks. I've already done it. I've had it with my clients. They've taken risks and most of them have actually gone from A to B to C. That's fine, but they knew the risks before they left and they went. And we're talking about people, you know, in the social community being doctors or psychiatrists, whatever. So we are doing that. It's very sluggish and it's very slow, but it does work. And the other thing that really worries me is consumer media. And I'd love to see CruiseCo or CLIA really get onto it and do some publicity with professionals because things like the Current Affair, even some of the radio shows, unbelievable, you know, the vested interest that they do have, and I know a lot more about what they're doing in TV, for example, there are vested interests behind that. There's the reporter, there's the editor, there's the journalist who he or she has actually had their fingers burnt. Or their cousins or their brothers have. That's why they're going hell for leather against Flight Centre and the cruise companies. There's a lot more to it. It's not just publicity. They're really doing this and there is a vested interest there. And
some good points there, Max. This crisis has touched everyone in some way, shape or form. Australians are avid travellers, whether that be around the country or overseas as well. So you've got some valid points there, mate. I'm going to jump across to a question here. Are your customers travelling anywhere in Australia? You mentioned some people are going from A to B to C. And what's it looking like the next 6 months?
Yeah, we're getting sluggish bookings, you know, within interstate. Basically, Northern Territory is winning. We're finding the Northern Queensland area, probably North Queensland more than anything, is winning. And New South Wales not. So, of course, Victoria's shut down. But the problem we had with Victoria, Sunlove and all those guys came out with packages. And so my staff are going ahead booking wonderful packages for Victoria. They close it down. So we're doing the third and fourth refunds for clients. So it's unbelievable. It's decimated. So, you know, for us to have confidence in selling even North Queensland, I said to my staff the other day, be careful because I can see this place closing down and having restrictions again and again in Western Australia and so forth. So, you know, it's really hard as travel agents. It's really simple. And I was speaking to one of the top guys from Harvey Norman back in about April. He says, give us an analogy. I'm having a really big staff meeting here, Max, in Queensland. And what's the analogy with our industry? And I said, you've got a Harvey Norman warehouse. You've got 5,000 shelves. You've got 2,000 staff from the front door at 9 o'clock in the morning. They walk in to go and open the door. They walk in, the staff members do. And on the shelves, there's one TV on the left-hand side and one fridge on the right-hand side. And 1,000 clients walk in to buy. You've got nothing to sell. We have nothing to sell on our shelves. The worst part about it, and I wrote an article about this about 2 or 3 weeks ago, is that as a travel agent, we are not selling international, even domestic travel, but especially international travel. We're just not selling it because we can't get travel insurance. We cannot offer travel insurance. And I will not sell international travel unless they have travel insurance. And as you know, we don't really have policies in the market at the moment. Mm-hmm. And if they want to travel, and the ones we have done, every one of them has signed a disclaimer with me that we are not responsible, they're not covered for anything, basically in insurance. So it's so careful, you just can't sell international travel or even cruises because you can't sell travel insurance. Like, duh, so what are you doing?
So if travel insurance is off the table, are you getting any inquiries for 2021 at all?
Getting inquiries for 2021, 2022 and stuff like that, which is cool. But again, some of my really well-heeled clients are saying to me, hang on, Max, we'd like to go in 2021, 2022, but what if the cruise company goes broke?
Max, as we come to the end of our time together, it is always a pleasure having a chat with you, mate. It's always guaranteed to be an interesting conversation. You brought up some really valid points there. Any last points or any last ideas to share with members? I know that one, running down the good supporters is a good one. Anything else? Yes, thank you very much for your time today. Really appreciate it. Some, as I said, some really valid points and some great ideas there as well. All the best to the team. And
thank you, Max, for that insightful and entertaining journey. We really appreciate you sharing your knowledge and thoughts with us and our members.